Today, more announceables to look good and do little. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post covering finance and property news. Well, I've discussed before the spate of announceables from the current government, events and releases which give the impression of taking bold actions, which grab headlines, but which in reality signify very little at all. Housing was a standout example, and now we have another, the Jobs Plan, which in fact was a scene resembling the Hollow Men. It took 260 pages and six cabinet ministers to announce the job plan, and according to Jim Chalmers, he wants to reduce the non-inflationary jobless rate so 2.8 million people who are not working or wanting to work more hours can bolster the labour market and improve their well-being. And in fact, you could say that the federal government has put full employment at the heart of Australia's policy frameworks and institutions to drive down structural unemployment over time and keep unemployment as low as possible, when they say the benefits of a strong labour market are not equally shared. Well, John Kehoe in the AFR writes, Chalmers sees an untapped pool of underutilised labour, such as the jobless, young people, pensioners, disabled, disadvantaged and Indigenous Australians. Paradoxically, the jobless rate of 3.7% is already near a 50-year low, making it a slightly awkward time to release unemployment white paper. The Treasurer and the Reserve Bank of Australia want to retain as much of the stimulus-fueled job gains as possible since the pandemic struck. Beyond the immediate inflation and interest rate cycle, Chalmers does not want to be constrained by the RBA's technical guess that the non-accelerating inflation rate of unemployment, the NARU, is about 4.5% to get inflation under control. To be sure, it's positive that the Treasurer wants work opportunities for as many people as possible and to drive down the so-called NARU over the medium term. But Labour's ambition can only be complementary, as claimed, to the RBA's inflation goal and achieve sustainability through government policies that expands the economy's productive capacity. Labour's industrial relations changes to bolster union power, expand multi-employer bargaining and crack down on labour hiring casual work will, if anything, increase the NARU by making the labour market less flexible. The white paper appears to retrofit Labour's workplace changes to claim its bargaining changes can boost productivity and the wages of workers. Making the workplace less flexible and increasing nominal wages without productivity gains makes the RBA's job harder to tread the narrow path to low inflation without smashing the economy. It also defies the views of businesses and economists who have warned Labour's re-regulation of industrial relations will worsen woeful productivity, which has fallen back to 2016 levels since the pandemic. As former RBA Governor Phil Lowe repeatedly warned, falling productivity and rising nominal wages are pushing up the real cost of producing goods and services, making it harder to engineer a return to the 2-3% inflation target. Unit labour costs, the difference between wages and productivity, rose 7.5% in the 12 months to June, well above the 3% limit that Lowe had previously identified. The white paper includes the obligatory goal of reigniting productivity by investing in people's skills and increased technology adoption to prepare the workforce for the digital transformation and net zero emissions transition. In the long term, real wage growth depends on productivity growth, a dynamic and competitive labour market, and effective wage setting institutions, the white paper says. Migration overhaul by Home Affairs Minister Claire O'Neill, targeting more highly skilled and better paid workers, will be potentially useful, although of course high migration is a problem, as we've discussed previously. And the government will invest in six new TAFE centres to expand training in emissions reduction, the care sector and digitalisation. A national skills passport will be road tested to connect workers looking for new jobs with employers seeking candidates with specific qualifications. And aged pensioners and those on income support, such as the unemployed, will be allowed to earn more before they lose welfare benefits under measures designed to lure them back into the workforce to help tackle the nation's skills and labour shortages. Now, all these things are probably reasonable, albeit small target policies, but they amount to little more than business as usual activities of government and similar to past initiatives by Labour and Liberal governments. Yet, it took 260 pages and no less than six cabinet ministers to announce the plan to reinforce to voters that the government is doing more than prosecuting the Voice referendum. There is no mention of the backsliding on industrial relations, nor was there any announcement to fix the incentive-killing tax and transfer system that is deterring people working more, or policies to encourage business to invest in tools, equipment and technology to make their workers more productive. Almost 80 months into government, Labour still lacks a decisive suite of policies to jumpstart labour productivity and keep unemployment low and wages rising sustainably to help the RBA. Well said, John Keogh. This is another classic example of an announceable. Actually, all smoke, all mirrors, and little real substance. But we're getting a lot of this from the government at the moment. I wonder why. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.